Hello, good morning. Welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle David. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise and to give you glory and honor. This morning we pray these Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom, incomprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with full of deeper and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. Give thanks to your Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And my thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control of the dominion of darkness, and you transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. This morning, we are talking about the process of restoration. We've been talking about our health, our wealth, and wholeness. In 3 John 2, we discovered that, this prayer that Apostle John prayed over this pastor guest, pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. This week, we've discovered that God wants us to live in a state of good health. He wants us to have more than enough to meet all our needs and be a blessing to others. And he wants us to be whole. He wants us to live in a state of shalom, where we are whole, we are complete, and in one piece, where there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Amen. So that's God's desire for us. But there are steps that we must take so that our health, our wealth, and our wholeness can be restored back to us. And so in the past couple of days, we've been talking and looking at how God began the restoration process after Adam had sinned. And the restoration process, in that restoration plan, he had his son Jesus in mind, whom he sent to us to begin that process of restoration. When Jesus was here on earth, he began doing that, and then when he had to leave, because his ministry was only for 3 years, he promised to send us the help of the Holy Spirit, who would continue that process of restoration with you and I. And so we discovered that God takes the things that we already are and turns them into, it makes them new. He makes them become new, but in that becoming new, the Holy Spirit takes us through a process of washing and cleansing. It's much like, spiritual house cleansing. He takes us through that cleansing and cleaning of our house. And as we allow him to take us through that process, we become more flexible in God's hands so that God can pour out into us, into these vessels which we have become, more and great in a greater measure. And so today we want to look at 3 areas, first and foremost, in which the Holy Spirit begins to work with us. How do we become renewed so that we can begin to move forward in this process of restoration? Well, of course, first and foremost, we start with salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we've gone past that stage after we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then there's the next step that we find here in Romans chapter 12. So let's begin there today. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2 is key. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that for yourselves, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen. So it's very important to understand this. It's telling us to be the renewal of our mind. Not only, you know, just renewing our mind, but the entire renewal of our mind by its new ideals and new attitude. Well, first and foremost, we have been, you know, programmed in the world system. Many of us, we weren't born Christian. You know, when we were born, we weren't born again, and so we've been raised in the world system, been programmed by the world's ideals and legalistic structures, and we've embraced those legalistic structures. You know, narrow-mindedness, you know, and all that stuff. And so when we have narrow minds, we cannot receive the mind of God. And so rather than having a mindset that is saturated with the love of God and the grace of God, our mindsets limit God from doing what he wants to do and pouring out into us what we want to do. Instead, you know, you find that man is very judgmental and man wants to be in control all the time. And so this type of mindset or this structure of legalism, it leads to pride and unbelief. If you study the book of Galatians, you'll find that Apostle Paul was reminding the Galatians that they had been doing great since he had been with them and spoken with them. However, he found out that, you know, their mindsets were narrow. I mean, they were having a good time growing in the Lord. They were walking in faith. But then he asked them who had bewitched them, who, you know, he equated what was going on with them with witchcraft. And so, in other words, he wanted to find out who had narrowed their minds down to such a degree that they were no longer able to receive the grace of God. And so he wanted to know who brought this type of mindset to you, who has been teaching you these things so that your minds are so narrow that you're limiting God from doing what he wants to do. Because remember, if we have narrow minds, we shut out God, we limit him, and we cannot have the mind of God. And so part of our restoration is that we have to be open-minded. We have to, you know, break free from the mindset, the world's mindset. Our restoration cannot be released while God is tightly locked up in a box. And that's the world's view of God. God, you know, putting God, limiting him to this certain box, and this is how it has to work. You know, no, we've got to allow the Lord to remove those boundaries, those, you know, those, the borders that we have created in our minds, these legalistic and religious rigid mindsets. We've got to allow the Lord to remove those and then ask him to come in and reveal the hidden places of our minds where we might still have, you know, narrow minds, and be willing to let go of the things of the past and let those things fall to the ground and allow the new faith that he wants to put in us to rise up within us. But we have to be flexible. Amen. We have to be flexible. You know, most of us, we know the word of God, which says, you know, nothing is impossible with God. We say that, but do we really believe that nothing is impossible with God? You know, because if we do, that means that we shouldn't be stressed. We shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't be discouraged. You know, we shouldn't have anxiety when we have impossible looking situations, because nothing is impossible with God. Then that shouldn't concern us to that extent where we can be, you know, can have anxiety. The reason why we have anxiety is because we don't really believe that nothing is impossible with God. We try to figure out in our mind, how am I going to get out of this situation? What am I going to do? That's the number one question that's on the mouths of believers. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do that? And so because of that, we put boundaries around what God can do. Though we say nothing is impossible with God, but we don't really believe that nothing is impossible with God. And so in those areas where you feel it could be, let's say, it could be maybe a challenge in your finances, and you believe, you know, there's this huge debt that is, you know, that you're dealing with, or a huge financial deficit that, and you need God to move right away. And though your mouth may be saying nothing is impossible with God, but do you really believe in your heart that God can bring you that amount of money that you need right away that all things are possible with God and God can really take care of it? Or are you saying it with your mouth, but in your heart you're saying, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Who am I going to go to? What am I going to do if something doesn't come through? That will show you that you have that, you know, that narrow mindset, that you don't really believe God. And so in those particular areas where you feel like, okay, you know, although I know I'm saying I believe God, but I don't really believe because I'm stressing, I'm anxious, I'm worried about this situation, that means I have to give this place to the Lord. Ask the Lord to take that and to turn it around. This is where Apostle Paul says the renewing of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. You've got to be transformed. You've got to be changed. You've got to be, you know, your mind has to be completely renewed, the entire renewal of your mind. So not just one part of your mind, but the entire renewal of your mind. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. When we are adapted, when we are fashioned after the external superficial customs of the world, that's where we get into legalism. That's where we get into, you know, narrow-mindedness. And so here Apostle Paul is requiring us to have to change our minds, to be transformed, to, you know, to that our mind, that the entire of our mind should be changed, you know, by the new, its new ideals and its new attitude, so that we may prove for ourselves that it is, that this is what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so if you have an area that you're dealing with, ask the Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind, to become flexible. Help me to renew my mind in this particular area so that I can see how God is seeing it, you know, so that I can conform. I can line myself up with the will of God, you know, in this particular area. Now, it could be in the area of health. You hear the word of God being spoken that you are the healed and not the sick. You believe that with God all things are possible, that God is your healer. But then you're still worried, excuse me, because you received a report that says that there's nothing that they can do. And so now you start playing this movie in your mind of, well, what am I going to do? Maybe I'm not going to survive a month, or maybe this, or maybe that. You see, what does that mean? That means that you've entered into the space of legalism where you are now limiting God, pushing God out, and boxing him in to one method or one way of healing, where if the doctors can't do it, then there's nothing else that can be done. And so that means in that particular point, in that particular area of your life, you have not submitted completely 100% to God's way of doing and being right. You know, and so yet the Bible tells you you are healed, and you've probably even heard of testimonies of people who've been healed. You know, the word of God has healed them. You've read of it. You know of people, but yet you've not fully given that area to the Lord. You are having a hard time trusting that God will do for you what he's done for somebody else. And so, excuse me, so that is, you know, that's an area that you really need renewal of your mind in that particular area. Now, all of us have areas that we may be dealing with in our lives. For instance, you know, it might, for some it might be just the financial area, and for some it might just be the, you know, the area of healing. But for some, it could even be in an area, let's say, about marriage. You know, maybe you're believing God for a spouse, but you're wondering, how come it's not happening for me? I know I'm trusting God. I'm waiting on God to come through for me, but yet you don't seem to see anything happen in that area. Well, you may be trusting God in all these other areas. Your mind may be renewed to God's way of doing and being right, or the word of God. But in this particular area, you are still the one in control, because you're trying to control the situation. You are trying to control when that, you know, husband or that wife shows up in your life. You're trying to control how things can be done and how it's going to be done. So again, you're limiting God. You're pushing God out. You're putting him in a box. And so that particular area of your life, that means that's the area that you need to submit again to God. You need renewal of your mind in that area. So I'm saying all this to give you an idea of how you know, it is possible for us to be saved, how it is possible for us to love the Lord and, you know, praise God and do all sorts of things, but yet still not be fully completely submitted to Him in certain areas of our lives where we are not, our minds are not fully renewed, His way of doing and being right. We're not fully renewed to His perfect will in that particular area. And so when you discover, you yourself would be the one to know what area it is. For most people, it's the area of finances. For some, it's the area of healing. For some, it's, you know, trusting God, just basically trusting God, just trusting that God will do what He said He will do. And so even though they may pray and do this, but that particular area hinders them from receiving what God has promised in His word. And so it's so important. This renewing of the mind is huge. It's a major subject that I just can't talk about it in 10 minutes, but it's something that you have to start, you have to begin. And that's how our process of restoration begins. Once we are saved, once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, now we have to reprogram. You know, renewing of our mind is resetting our mind, is being reprogrammed to God's way of doing and being right. Amen. And so instead of now being on the world system, now we are transformed into God's kingdom system and God's way of doing things. And so God's way of doing things is not necessarily the way the world does things. And so that renewing of our mind, accepting how God does things and how He, you know, in the world, you would wait for somebody to do something, then you say thank you. Well, in the kingdom of God, you say thank you before you actually see a manifestation of the thing that you're believing God for. And so that part right there, sometimes it's difficult for people. Why am I thanking ahead of time when there's nothing yet that I have seen manifest in the natural world? But that's how we do the things of God. We believe we receive it before we even have it. You see? And so in the natural, you wait until you receive it, then you say thank you. No, for us, we walk by faith. And so just even walking by faith in itself, for some, it's so hard. You know, they say it, they know the word of God, but to walk by faith, they haven't fully submitted to that concept of walking by faith. And so, but it is something that God has said we need to do. The just shall live by faith. We are to live by faith. And so you may have not fully submitted yourself, your mind to this idea of walking by faith and not by sight. And so that could be an area that is blocking you from receiving everything that God has for you. It could be the very area that's stopping you from receiving the blessing of God. It could be the very area that's hindering you from actually entering into the fullness that God has for you, into that the process of complete restoration that God wants for you. So again, it's so important that you ask the Lord to reveal to you those hidden places that of legalism that are in your mind, and then be willing to let go of those things. Again, the legalism is really narrow-mindedness, where I don't know about this faith thing, if it works, you know, but it does work. I don't know if I can walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know if I can trust something that, you know, or someone that I don't see. Well, yes, you can, because He's given us His word. You see God. God is His word. The word of God is God, and God is His word. The word is God in print form, and so we are able to see, hear, and read what He says. And so if you can't get to that place of trusting that God is real, that in itself is hindered, you know, is hindering you from receiving God's best for your life. And so everybody, like I said yesterday, we're on different spiritual levels, but we must trust the Lord to bring us through. So the first step is really working with your mind, really having your mind renewed to the things of God. And I could go on and talk about the renewing of your mind today, but I want us to go to the next step. Romans, let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 1. And it's interesting because this next step is really not so much God's God's doing in as much as it is our doing. The Bible tells us here in Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. What is that talking about? Well, you know, the enemy tries to keep us in our past. He tries to remind us of the things that we've done wrong in our past in order to steal our future from us. Amen. There are many people right now that are, you know, that are in 2018, but they're still living in their past. One of the enemy's favorite tactics is to remind us of our personal failures, you know, or failures in our family, you know, and point to where, you know, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. And so it causes us to put on that garment of condemnation and guilt. And yet, you know, and he wants to make you believe that, well, God can't help you. God can't bless you. Remember, you did this and you did that and you sinned in this way and you did all that stuff. Oh, how can God restore you? Did you have, you know, 5 abortions? Oh, how can God restore you? Did you have an affair? Did you lie about this person? Or aren't you divorced? You know, did you break the commandments and the word of God and all that stuff? And so some people get caught up in that when the devil brings that to their remembrance. And so because of that, he steals our blessing. He gets us out from the path of restoration on which God has placed us. Amen. And so this scripture is telling us that there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Now, I want to read that from another version so that we can fully grasp what the Word of God is saying to us here. Because it's so important. This step is so important because that's what stops everything. I look at it this way. The angels of God are doing what needs to be done to bring us into that place of fulfillment that God has spoken. Because God always fulfills what he has said. And then we stop him because of condemnation. So I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation, Romans 8:1. It says, so now the case is closed. I like that. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Why? Listen to that again. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Now, why is this one so important? Well, those who are in Christ, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, cannot be condemned. You know, we do not, when we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, we cannot be condemned because we are now in Christ Jesus. He has forgiven us of all our past sins when he went to the cross. When we now open the door to Satan to sin, that's when we sin, we open that door to Satan, and that's when he can come back in and do, you know, and bring to our remembrance, well, you did this and you did that, and put a stop to what God is trying to do in this restoration process. However, you see, the lies of the enemy can be shut down. Because we, you know, when you realize that you've made a mistake, when you realize that you've sinned, we can go to God quickly and repent of our sins. You know, he says in 1 John 1:9, when we, you know, repent and confess of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So the cleansing process continues. We are not 100% perfect. We will make mistakes. We will fall, but we can get up and rise up again. Just make sure that we go before the Lord. Repent. Repent means changing, turning away from that, never doing that thing again, and then we can move forward. God is faithful. is just. He will wash us. He will cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. Amen. But you can't stay there. You can't, you know, camp in that place where, you know, now the enemy is bringing all this condemnation back to you. No, you can quickly get right with God and forgive yourself. That's the major thing. Forgive yourself for what you have done wrong. Forgive yourself of the things you've done in the past. Because if you don't forgive yourself, the enemy will keep bringing that up, and he will keep using that to cause you to feel guilty and to cause you to put on this garment of condemnation. So if God has forgiven you and forgotten it, in fact, the Bible says that God blots out our sins. He doesn't remember them from the east, as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember those sins anymore. So that is why I like what Romans 8:1 says in the Passion Translation. It says, so now the case is closed. The case is closed. If the case is closed, the only person that brings it up is the one who keeps on talking about it, which would be you. You might bring it up to yourself, oh, but I did this and I did that. But in God's eyes, the case is closed because he has forgiven us. He has, you know, Jesus bore our sin. He forgave us. So that case is closed. Amen. And so it's so important that you understand that. Remember, your relationship with God is restored through Jesus Christ. By him, you know, sacrificing on the cross for us, he bore our sin and our sickness. And so by his stripes, we are healed and we are made whole. And so keep remembering that Jesus bore my sins and my sicknesses. He was bruised for my transgression. You see, and so if the devil brings that up to your mind, tell him to shut up and to get out of your life, because refuse to give him access to any area of your life. And so if we can bring condemnation in that area in your mind has not been fully submitted to God, you know, you haven't renewed your mind in that area to fully accept what Jesus did for you on the cross. And not only that, yes, maybe even after you got born again, you sin, but if it's a sin that you've committed unknowingly, or even if you committed it knowingly, go before the Lord and ask. Now, this is not a license. 1 John 1:9 is not a license to sin. But if you find yourself falling, you can go back to the Lord and repent and ask for forgiveness. Let me tell you, Jesus, one of the disciples asked Jesus, how many times do we have to forgive one who wrongs us? And Jesus says 70 times 7. So in a day, you may have to go back to God and repent 70 times 7, more than 70 times, just to ask him to remove, you know, to find yourself falling into sin. Well, you need to be in the Word. You need to have the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. But God wants to restore you into this place where, you know, wants to bring the restoration process where you can walk in the fullness of all that he has for you and I to walk in. And so it's important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to soak us in his cleansing waters of forgiveness, in his cleansing waters of renewal, you know, and that's how we get into this renewing process and start getting clean and start getting purged of the things of our past, the things of the world that we picked up, the mannerisms, the habits that we picked up from the world system, you know, and then we start to conform ourselves to God's kingdom way of doing and being right. And then once we do that, we start, as we walk in God's righteousness, we begin to see the things that we are believing God for begin to be added to our life. But when all these things are, we are not yet lined up in these areas, it's a problem. It hinders from coming through into our lives. And so next week we'll continue, by the grace of God, to look at the other areas that we need to work on so that God can fully bring us back into the place of restoration that he has desired for us. He wants to restore us in our health. He wants our soul to be restored, and he wants, you know, our finances to be healthy as well. And so he wants us to be whole, to live in a state of shalom, where we are whole, complete, and one piece, nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lacking, in Jesus' name. I pray you've been blessed by today's teaching. I hope that you will join me again